Hey everybody, hope y'all are doing well. This is Chase Floyd, crop protection specialist with the University of Missouri, stationed at Portageville at the Fisher Delta Center. Today's Cinco de Mayo, and I wanted to kick off the 2026 Pest Patrol Hotline season with my first one today. Been pretty busy planting plots and hadn't had a lot of time to sit down and write down what I've been getting phone calls about. Today's an opportunity. It's a real rainy, overcast day in the Boot Heel, and so I'm hoping the folks that have been asking for water have gotten what they needed to get some good seed imbibition and get this stand up and so we can get going. So I'll just start out with about 2 weeks ago, a lot of calls on various aphids in canola and wheat. You know, what I would say there is, you know, we typically don't have a lot of issues with the aphids in terms of lambda. Now, there's some species out there that are showing bits of lambda resistance, but I haven't identified any of those in the boot heel yet. A lot of the ones that we have species-wise seem to be pretty susceptible. But if the lambda or the Warrior 2 doesn't work out the way that you wanted to in terms of control, I would say probably about a half ounce of some Foxiflor would do the trick there. But now that we've gotten a little bit of rain, I really don't see or have gotten very many aphid calls since. So maybe we've gotten that fungus out there that has knocked that population back a little bit. We're also getting kind of to the end of the weed anyway, so I don't know how much damage they're actually going to be doing at this point. Next thing that I've gotten a lot of calls about, which I hadn't gotten since I've gotten here, is we have beans, we have corn that are just do not have good stands. They're not having failed emergence, things like that. Well, something to take into consideration, it's been hot and dry, so you may have planted into the moisture, and then the moisture didn't last very long. Trust me, I've seen quite a bit of that with plots myself. With further investigation, we've had several calls on wireworm and seed corn maggot. And so I'll just say this is, I know that we've got some razor-thin margins the past couple of years, and growers have been trying to look for opportunities to cut costs. I've had several phone calls this last fall in regards to where they could cut back, and if they could cut back on an insecticide seed treatment, if I thought they would be okay. And I think most of the time my answer was, you may be able to get away with it once, but I wouldn't do it back-to-back years. I'll say this, it definitely wasn't the best year to cut back on insecticide seed treatment. Like I said, with further investigation into these fields, it's been quite obvious that we've got some seed corn maggot and wireworm problems. The next question that I typically ask when I find those is, what kind of seed treatment do we have on there? And I'll say 10 out of 10 times this year when I've come upon that is we went fungicide only. We took the insecticide off trying to cut costs. And I'll say this, I think soybean insecticide seed treatment was probably one of the first things on the chopping block because, you know, we don't see a lot of pests early. I'll say there's two things because of that. This year it's been super hot and super dry, so they've been able to get started a little bit earlier. And secondly, we don't see a lot of early season pests on our beans and corn like that because the seed treatment works so well. So that moving forward, if you're having to go for a replant, I would extremely recommend that you have some sort of neonicotinoid seed treatment on that seed. Just so that you're not getting wireworm and seed corn maggot issues there. Moving up a little bit farther into crop emergence, I've gotten more calls, especially in Stoddard County, in terms of cutworms. Pretty large populations of cutworms. I received pictures where this guy was sampling random 6 foot or 6 inch sections in this field, and he was averaging, you know, five to seven cutworms per 6 inches. That is a massive population. Typically, to look for cutworms, you're going to see clip plants. Typically, you won't find that plant material just sitting on the ground, because what those cutworms do is they do not want to be in the sun. They do not like the sun, so at night they're going to come out, they're going to clip the plant, and then they're going to drag it back into their hole where they're in the shade and feed on it. So that's kind of where kind of the digging logic comes there. And so what I'll say to that is, typically, if you've ever heard me talk about cutworms, you know, Warrior 2, some Lambda Psi, I'll say it's the first thing you need to do when you get to the farm, or it's the last thing you do before you leave the farm. And I'll say that this year is kind of unique, so I'm going to cross out the first thing you do when you get to the farm. We need to probably be spraying this close to dusk. And the reason I say that is because it has been so hot and it has been so dry. We don't want any UV degradation to compromise that AI that we're spending money on. And so I think the opportunity to get a better kill may happen in the evening versus the... versus doing it in the morning. So we're looking, I would say about a 10% stand loss is when I'm going to be considering taking out the cutworms. And again, I'm probably going to spray Intrepid, or I'm probably going to spray Lambda. And if I don't feel like I had good success with that, I may come back with Intrepid Edge to try to clean it up. But before we get into the pocketbook this early, let's try to clean it up with something cheaper where we have a little more budget throughout the year. Next thing that I've been getting a lot of calls about hasn't really hit the boot heel yet, but it is hitting Northeast Arkansas pretty hard. Massive populations of salt marsh caterpillar taking down stands, skeletizing plants. Yeah, they come pretty heavy, and when they come with a vengeance. And I've gotten some pictures from counterparts at, in other states showing where these salt marsh caterpillars are really taking down a crop. And what I can say to you to that is my recommendation would be 4 ounces of Intrepid there. That typically really cleans those up pretty good. They don't stand much of a chance with that type of worm material. So those are just things to be on the lookout as we get, you know, crop in the ground. Look for those cutworms early. And then if we're seeing some massive defoliation levels on plants, be looking for those salt marsh caterpillars. Remember, typically my rule of thumb in terms of defoliation is I like 40% defoliation during vegetative stages. Then once we move into repro, I cut that tolerance down to 25. But when we're talking about cotyledon soybeans and V1, V2 soybeans, 40% is not very much foliage. So we need to really be looking at looking for these worms and making sure that we're getting those taken care of early in the year so we don't have a bad stand for massive defoliation levels and delays in maturity. Lastly, we do have a little bit of cotton planted in the ground this already, and now that it's May, I know there's a couple people that are going to be really vamping it up, especially since it has been nice and warm, especially with these cool temperatures really kind of being done here in the next couple of days after these storm cells go through. Let's say if we're not planting a Thrive On variety, right now it's a little cool, it's a little wet. So that's going to make that plant go a little bit slower. It's going to be more time to get those heat units to get to fourth leaf. So what I'll say there is we need to be on top of these thrips, man. We cannot take some serious thrip injury this year with these thin margins. It's just not worth it, and it's just going to put us in a bad place, especially if we catch an early frost and we got top crop that won't open. So... with that, you know, based on the Mid-South Entomologist Working Group bioassays we've been running on thrips, Intrepid Edge is still holding 100% control at 3 ounces. across the Mid-South. It continually suppresses all of our thrips that we're dealing with in cotton. Other alternatives to that is a couple Corteva products, Radiant, as well as their new product Hemi, which I think will be, we'll be seeing more of that in the probably next 12 to 24 months. Which that is the AI that in Intrepid Edge that is providing great control. Another option we have is Bidrin, but take into consideration with that Bidrin application, we may not get 100% control there. And so we will still have thrips feeding on those plants actively after the spray. And then just kind of to wrap it up, you know, if we didn't get a good aggressive pre-emergence herbicide out, I think I'm going to have Alex join me. Maybe we'll record it tomorrow since we're a little soggy footed today. And probably will be tomorrow. I'll see if he can give us some recommendations on some pre combinations that we can plant with this cotton moving forward. With that, if we aren't aggressive on a pre and we are having to try to control some of these weed species post-emerge, we really need to be chasing after these mites, especially in fields where we have henbit. They will walk right off that dying henbit and get right onto that seedling cotton. And if we're getting in the pocketbook this early for mites, we're going to have a long year. So, let's chase those post-application sprays or post-emerge application sprays. Make sure we're not getting mites on that small cotton. And I think we'll be sitting off pretty good. With that, I just want to thank you all again. You know, it's an honor to serve the Boot Heel Growers of Missouri in any way that I can. I'm an entomologist by trade, but I'll try to help you through any situation you have. So feel free to call me and let's have a good 2026 crop. My phone number is 901-493-2377. And I'll give you an update soon. So happy cotton planting to those who are still cotton planting, and happy spring to everybody else. And let's get 2026 rolling good. Talk to you all later.
Always read and follow label instructions. Some products may not be registered for sale or use in all states or counties. Please check with your local extension service to ensure registration status. Warrior 2 with Xeon technology is a restricted use pesticide.